uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting live all across this great land. The big lie has just been cranking and cranking and cranking. And every now and then you see a little chip in the armor. And a fine thing it is when there's a, you know, when the armor gets attacked. One of the big lies. We're going to get to what happened in Washington D.C. this weekend, by the way, in just a minute. And good on them. The rally, the march, as many as 300,000 people showing up, 400 counter demonstrators who, of course, got just about the same amount of news coverage. In any case, today the massive lobbying activity effort going on in Washington, D.C., people going door to door through Congress, visiting their members of Congress. You can support their efforts by calling 1-877-SOB-USOB. That is 1-877-762-8762 is the toll-free number for the House of Representatives and the Senate, for that matter. If you want to call your senator and say, vote no on Roberts. In addition to calling the two senators who represent your state, also call Pat Leahy and Russ Feingold. Because if these guys will change their votes as a result of pressure from we the people, it could start a landslide. And this is a whole big issue, and a not insignificant one. For example, a correspondent with Mark Crispin Miller sends a note in saying, another way of looking at this is that the Democrats might shoot themselves in the foot by splitting on Roberts, who appears to be a shoo-in. In other words, the Democrats might as well just roll over and say, sure, okay, fine. This person says, I'm not saying I find him acceptable, but the next candidate will surely be egregious. We need a strategy, and splitting on the first street seat under the current conditions seems like a foolish one. If the Dems were to let Roberts slide in, the party could then vociferously oppose almost any proposed candidate for the second seat in unison with the simple logic that he, she is no Roberts, intellectual, moderate, blah, 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 thus making the filibuster more rational and garnering the support of the center. Our eyes should be squarely focused on the prize of the second seat and not dithering over this seat. We have zero power and apparently not one clear leader. We need to rally the wagons and listen to our heads rather than all the special interest groups. This is ours to lose. Bull. Nonsense. To say that we are going to let the guy, the lawyer who went down to Florida in the year 2000 and helped George W. Bush's lawyers rehearse how they were going to argue before the United States Supreme Court that the count for the vote for the president in the state of Florida should not be counted, that they should stop the count right then because there was a possibility that Al Gore might have won more votes, which it turns out, according to the New York Times, the Washington Post, and other papers, when they actually counted the vote a year and a half later, turns out Al Gore actually did win more votes in Florida as well as across the United States. That George Bush was an illegitimate president of the United States in the year 2000, and in my opinion still is. To say that the guy who was the lawyer who went down and helped them put together the arguments before the Supreme Court, because he had been a clerk for Justice Rehnquist, and he was a million-dollar-a-year corporate lawyer, and he understood Washington politics, and he'd been on the inside, and his wife is the head of Feminists for Life, of a women's group, an anti-abortion women's group. To say that this guy who just weeks ago, as an appeals court judge, ruled that the president of the United States has the right to put people in prison without access to lawyers, without knowing what crime they're being charged of forever, to put this guy on, not just on the Supreme Court, in charge of the Supreme Court, it's nuts. Pardon my. Anger isn't the right word. I am just astounded that any Democrat in their right mind would think that giving a pass on a guy this toxic, a guy who clearly is in favor of overturning Roe v. Wade, who has been totally evasive, who has years worth of documents from when he was with the White House, and the Republicans are refusing to turn those documents over. They're claiming lawyer-client privilege. The same claim, by the way, that Bill Clinton tried to make when Ken Starr subpoenaed similar papers. Ken Starr won. Clinton couldn't make that claim, no, but George W. Bush, he can make that claim, no problem. And the media doesn't even report that. When was the last time you heard in the media that John Roberts, you know, the big event of his life in the last 5 years, the two big events of his life are, number one, ruling, after he had been told he was a candidate for the Supreme Court, ruling that George W. Bush could legally lock up people forever without charging them with a crime in violation of the United States Constitution, and this is the guy you want protecting the Constitution, number one. And number two, that, oh, he's not a partisan hack. Oh, no, but he did show up in Florida in 2000 and was the guy who led the rehearsals and taught the lawyers for George W. Bush how to argue before Rehnquist, before the Supreme Court, to be sure that the vote didn't get counted so that Bush would be appointed by the Supreme Court as president rather than elected by the people. Or actually, rather than having Al Gore elected by the people, because Al Gore was elected by the people. To say, oh, we should just let this slide so that next time we can fight. Neville Chamberlain. You know, maybe if we just let Hitler take Austria, he'll stop there. Maybe if we just let Hitler take Austria and invade Poland, then he'll be satisfied. Maybe if we just let Hitler take Austria and take the Sudetenland, the border with Czechoslovakia, and also take Poland, that'll be enough. Appeasement never works. The so-called New Democrats, the Democratic Leadership Committee Council, these DLC Democrats who are saying that we should appease the Republicans, are not only wrong, they're destroying the Democratic Party and the future hopes of the United States of America. Because I'm telling you, it's not the United States of America that the Republicans and the conservative Democrats are working for. It is multinational corporations. You want the internationalists? You want the international conspiracy to take over the world? You've got it in the Republican Party and the conservative Democrats. It's not the communists that the John Birch Society was so worried about. It's the multinational corporations, the DLC Democrats, these so-called trade groups, a trade pacts, NAFTA, GATT, CAFTA. You're going to talk about the surrender of sovereignty. I mean, the sovereignty that we have surrendered by signing treaties that allowed us to join the United Nations are nothing, nothing compared to the sovereignty that we surrendered by signing the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trades and the North American Free Trade Agreement and the Central American Free Trade Agreement. Nothing. I mean, you've got the people of the United States, the Humane Society of the United States worked for 25 years to pass laws, starting at a state-by-state basis, to pass laws saying that if you're going to fish for tuna, you can't kill dolphins in the process. Because wherever there's a school of tuna, there will be dolphins on the surface just above them. So it's a way of knowing, hey, that's where the tuna are. So they started using these huge mile-long nets that are a mile long, quarter mile deep, and scooping up the tuna, and they get all the dolphins with them. Kill the dolphins because they're mammals. They can't, you know, you get them underwater, they drowned, and just throw them away. So we finally passed laws in the United States saying, you can't do that. Against the law. Got to be dolphin safe. We signed NAFTA under Chapter 11 of NAFTA. A corporation can sue us, a sovereign nation, as can a foreign government. Mexico and a Mexican corporation comes in and says, you can't do that. That's restraint of trade. We had to repeal laws that we passed here in the United States. I'm telling you, it's not the UN you have to worry about. It's the Republicans and the conservative Democrats. These DLC Democrats. And they're just saying, well, you know, let's just roll over on Roberts. I'm sorry. No, don't roll over. Stand up, speak out, and call your member of Congress, 1-877-SOB-USOB, which is 1-877-762-8762. and call both of your senators, even if they're Republicans, and be sure to call Russ Feingold and Pat Leahy, even if you don't live in Wisconsin or in Vermont. Call Russ Feingold and Pat Leahy, as well as your senators, and say, you know, voting for Roberts is treason. It's turning your back on the principles of this country, because this is a guy who is a partisan Republican and showed it in 2000 in Florida by showing up. This is a guy who doesn't believe in the Constitution and showed it by voting that George W. Bush should have the power to lock people up forever without access to 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, or 8th Amendment protections under the Constitution. This is not a man that we want on the Supreme Court of the United States. Fight every battle all the way. That's how it has to be. 16 minutes past the hour.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
And I'm taking my country back. Son, you ain't been doing her right. Oh, I've been watching you and I don't like how you've been treating my stars and stripes.
That's what we got to do, my friends.
Took our jobs and sent them overseas. Now we owe billions to the red Chinese.
And welcome back. 21 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. I am informed, and David has confirmed, that for reasons unknown, sort of like, you know, the trains stopped working on the day of the big demonstration in Washington, D.C., all of a sudden you couldn't get a train from New York or New Jersey or Boston down to Washington, D.C. For about 4 hours, trains just shut down. And so thousands and thousands of protesters did not make it for the scheduled start of the protest. Well, similarly, the 1-877-SOB-USOB telephone number has been disconnected. So, if you want to call your elected member of Congress, if you want to call your representative, you're going to have to pay for the call, but here's the phone number for all members of Congress, everybody on Capitol Hill. It rings in the same into the same switchboard, but now you have to pay for the call. And so a new number to memorize, area code 202, that's the area code in Washington, D.C., 202-225-3121. 225-3121. Area 202-225-3121. And a new number that we're all going to have to memorize because they've disconnected the toll-free number on us. Ain't that sweet? So, anyhow, my, you know, it's like, you know, would Martin Luther King have said, well, you know, some of these folks aren't so bad. Maybe we should just wait another month or so before we speak out. Maybe that's a more imperfect analogy, but anyhow, you get the point. John in Los Angeles on the line. Hey, John, welcome to the program.
John, you know, Tom, thank you for taking my call. Listen, I've got two more toll-free numbers I can give your people right now. They're tested good numbers toll-free. They're both 888 numbers.
Have you tried them in the last 10
yes.
minutes?
Yes.
Okay.
888-818-6641.
Hang on just a second. David, will you be sure and write these down? Give it to me again,
888-818-6641.
Okay.
And the other one is 888-355-3588. 355-3588. And there's also a website, millionphonemarch.com. And you can go out to that website, and there's the pull-down menu. You can get your the phone and fax numbers for each of your individual senators, the toll-free numbers are there also. And there's also a form on there. You can send an email to your senators in real time with one click and also a letter to the editor of your local newspaper.
Yeah, I'm looking
so
at it right
all
now.
All there.
Okay, great.
Million phone marks. Listen, I'm just outraged at the way the media has been for weeks talking about done deal. It's the Borg sales pitch.
Oh, yeah.
Just trying to tell us that resistance is futile.
And they were saying that before we even knew anything about this guy. They were saying that before, and they, not only was the media machine saying that, and all the talking heads and the pundits and, you know, the Chris Matthews of the world, and, you know, as soon as they trots out John Roberts, oh, he's got cute children, he's a done deal, he's a slam dunk. That story got ahead of the curve, as it were. And I got another one here that I want to get into in a minute that got ahead of the curve. But now they're continuing to echo this. And now you got Democrats saying, well, you know, if we go along with this one, then we'll be able to fight the next one more effectively.
So wrong.
Nonsense.
The way to fight the next one is to fight this one.
That's absolutely right.
This is the next fight.
That's right. You're absolutely right.
People have a million, phonemarch.com. All the resources you need are right there, one click.
Right. Millionphonemarch.com. And give us those toll-free numbers.
888-818-6641, and then 888-355-3588. Tom, you're absolutely right. This is a conspiracy. They have shut this line down on purpose. The phones were ringing off the hook. Leahy's office was getting swamped in the morning on Friday. They shut that line down. You are absolutely right about that.
Yeah. And of course, then they may disconnect these toll-free numbers as well, because toll-free numbers are always
numbers on that website.
They're always redirects and they come in on top. But there is that one main number for Capitol Hill. They will not shut this down. This is the main number. It's 202-225-3121. It always has been, always will be. And so there's that, too, as well. And in this day and age, I mean, what does a phone call cost? It's not like, you know, back when we were kids and a phone call was a big deal. It's going to cost you a nickel, a dime, 15 cents, something like that. So even if you dial the pay for number 202-225-3121, that's, you know,
Tom, to all your listeners, if you are within the sound of Tom's voice, if you care about our democracy, if you care about what's happening to our country, you must call if you are ever going to call a senator on anything, you must do this today. Call Leahy. Call Feinl. Tell them they got it wrong. You know, we've got a president that can't admit that he ever made a mistake or ever correct it.
Yeah.
We don't need that from our senators.
And let's not forget Herb Kohl of Wisconsin as well.
All of them.
Yeah, but Leahy, you know, as chairman of the Judiciary Committee, it just boggles my mind. Feingold and Kohl as well. John, thanks for the call.
Thank you so much.
Much appreciated. Our telephone number, 1-866-889-8894. But more important, the phone number in Washington, D.C., 202-225-3121. Call your members of the Senate right now and say, John Roberts, enough. No, we don't want this guy. He doesn't believe in democracy, and we don't want him on the Supreme Court. 27 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back, my friends. 34 minutes past the hour. I'm Tom Hartman on the place where smart people get their news. The true free speech zone. No RNC passes required. No barbed wire fences. No police going to put a gun in your face and say, you got to go to the free speech zone, young man. No siree, Bob. Or young lady. Instead, all voices welcome. Reich, left, pro, con, whatever it may be. John Roberts, this week, Thursday, will be the vote, our last chance to change the minds of the United States Senate. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Rick in Grand Rapids, Michigan on the line. Hey, Rick, what's up?
How are you today, Tom?
I am great, but I'll get better. Rick, what's
okay.
up?
Well, I know this is going to sound like a partial apology for Roberts, but make some points here. Number one, what you said about his partisan interference in Florida was correct, you know, with the Gore versus Bush vote.
Yeah,
which eventually
I know it was.
Right, it was. However, I believe those five Republican hacks on that Supreme Court were going to rule that way no matter what Roberts or anybody else did, Ken Starr, Ted Olson, or any of those jerks. That's number one. Number two.
Rick, hang on just a second. That's like saying, yes, Your Honor, my client did rob this bank, but, you know, if he hadn't done it, some other guy would have.
No, I'm just saying the people responsible are those five justices, nobody else. Anyway, as far as stopping this vote, as you know, I guess it's, what, 55 Republicans in the Senate now? What you're going to have to do is change 6 Republican votes because there aren't enough to stop it short of a filibuster. And if they try a filibuster, you know what will happen. They'll invoke the nuclear option.
Fine.
Well, okay. You're going to take that
Fine.
Risk.
You know, if you have to fight every fight. There were a lot of battles in World War II where we went into those battles thinking, you know, we might lose. There's a good chance we'll lose. When we landed at Normandy, there was every chance that we wouldn't make it across that beach, period, and the entire invasion of Europe would fail and Hitler would end up ruling the world. Still fight the fight, Rick.
Two more points very quickly. This is the vote, or this is the justice that will replace Lindquist, who was a pretty hard right guy. The next person will replace O'Connor.
Actually,
let me swing vote.
I understand that logic, and Rehnquist was not a hard right guy. Rehnquist was opposed to abortion. If you go back and read Rehnquist's dissent in Boston versus Bilotti, for example, or many of his dissents, Rehnquist did not believe that corporations should have the rights of persons. He did not believe Rehnquist was an old fashioned conservative. He was a Dwight Eisenhower, somewhere between a Dwight Eisenhower and a Barry Goldwater conservative.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I wrote a book about this. Not about Rehnquist specifically, but I read a lot of his decisions.
Okay, I'll take your word.
And I'm telling you, Rick, Rehnquist was an old-fashioned conservative in as much as, you know, he believed in the Constitution says what the Constitution says, and he didn't want to inject his opinion into it unless it came to abortion. Abortion was one area where he was pretty nutty about it. But read Rehnquist's dissent in Boston versus Bilotti. He says, you know, back in 1886, this court ruled without, I'm paraphrasing from memory, without benefit of public debate or discussion, the corporations are persons. And then he goes through this long rant about how he thinks it's wrong. Corporations shouldn't have these rights. Corporations have these kind of rights, then you're going to devolve into fascism. You're going to end up with a form of government that doesn't resemble democracy. That was Rehnquist's perspective. John Roberts, on the other hand, is a corporatist. He is what Benito Mussolini would have called a fascist. He's made his living doing this.
But one last point. Remember Hugo Black? He was a Ku Klux Klaner when he was young, and he became one of the most liberal voices on the court. These people can change. Let's hope this happens.
Hugo Black was not a Ku Klux Klaner when he was nominated to and appointed to the Supreme Court. Just like Robert Byrd is not a Ku Klux Klaner now. John Roberts shows not only no indication that he has changed his spots, but every indication that he is absolutely where he was 20 years ago and that he and the White House are doing everything they can to cover it up. I think comparing him with Hugo Black or Robert Byrd or anybody else who has changed over the course of time. I mean, Lyndon Johnson was one of America's great racists when he was a congressman from Texas.
Yes.
And here's the guy who brought us the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, and the War on Poverty. I mean, yes, people do change, but John Roberts has not shown any indication that he would change.
He defended gays and he defended welfare recipients.
No, he did not. He was peripheral to those arguments. His law firm had been hired for those arguments. The conservatives have put forward that he was one of the people who defended these things. No, I'm sorry. His contribution was minimal.
We can't hope for a change?
We can hope and pray for a change, but I agree with Ronald Reagan. Trust but verify. And if you want to try and verify John Roberts, all you're going to get is that the guy is a right-wing crank. He is over the top.
Well, let's hope not.
Yeah, well, let's hope not. Let's do something about it, Rick. Thanks for the call. Dave in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Hey, Dave, what's up?
Hi, Tom. When I heard you say on Thursday that you were a little baffled by Leahy's vote, I was a little surprised to hear you say that, because when I heard him say Wednesday that he had examined the testimony and that he was going to follow his conscience on this vote, I pulled out some old tapes, and he said exactly the same thing when he confirmed Clarence and when he voted for Clarence Thomas and refused to listen to Anita Hill. Him and Dodd and Biden. And Biden, I know, changed his vote this time after a 45-minute pontification as to why.
Yeah.
Basically because he's running for president. And so, this is the old guard up there. They're rigid, they're unchangeable, and probably unapproachable. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think they're really a part of the DLC, are they? They're not the new Democrats. They're the old, unchangeable Democrats.
Here's my guess on this thing. John Roberts is a member, not just a member, he's a partner in one of the largest and most powerful law firms in the entire United States of America. A law firm, I forget the name of it, but it's a law firm in Washington, D.C. that hires ex-members of Congress. If you retire from Congress or you lose your seat and you want to go to work as a lobbyist or as a lawyer and have a guaranteed salary of $1 million a year plus, you get in bed with this law firm. If you want, if you want to have any influence with any lobbying company on K Street in Washington, D.C., you have to be on good terms with this law firm. And frankly, I suspect that there is more. I think, you know, your comment about the old boy network, I think that this is the I'm just guessing. I mean, I wish I could get I wish Pat Leahy would talk with us. But my guess is that what we're seeing here is the activity of the old boy network and the, you know, protecting your own future network here on the part of some of these Democrats more than anything else. And the rationale is, oh, we're keeping our powder dry. And I'll tell you, if George Washington had followed that rationale, we would still be singing God Bless the Queen.
I agree with you. You know, if in the first place, as far as Cheney's comment to Leahy a few months ago, you know, you really don't make that kind of comment to somebody unless you're comfortable enough with that person almost to make that comment.
Well, no, I don't think so. I met and talked with Pat Leahy, you know, personally about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months after that happened. And he made the, well, it wasn't just me personally. It was probably 15 people in the room with him. But he made a joke about it, and he said he'd never, but then he got very serious. He says, I've never heard language like that. He said he was absolutely shocked. He was horrified. He was insulted. He took it very seriously. He took it very personally. I think it indicated serious bad blood between these two guys. It wasn't a joke between friends.
Okay. Well, Nonetheless, these guys still have. It seems like after 30 years of being in Congress, you'd think you'd be able to examine and be more in touch with your conscience and your consciousness. To you know, I mean, doesn't look to me like there's any change at all in the way they think between the Anita Hill vote 15, 20 years ago and this vote or Clarence Thomas vote.
Yeah, you'd think that they would have learned.
I think you'd grow a little bit and develop as you're going along.
Well, Dave, be sure and call. You're in Pennsylvania. Be sure and call Senators Specter and Santorum and let them know what you think.
Yeah, Specter for sure.
Yeah, and call Santorum too. I mean, you know, he certainly he's going to vote, but nonetheless, he needs to hear from the people.
You will
know,
do.
It is
will
not
do.
A wasted call. It is even if you're calling somebody who you think, you know, I mean, here in Oregon, you know, Gordon Smith has already said he's going to. I still call his office and say, you know, it's crazy. You're not representing me if you do that. Dave, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894, a telephone number. Amy in San Diego. Hey, Amy, what's up?
Hey, Tom, I just wanted to chime in on what you guys are talking about. People are very misled by this John Roberts. They think he's some sort of a moderate or whatever. Bush would not have chosen him if he was not an extremist like him.
Right.
I keep going back to Mark Crispin Miller, who said this. They are driving this country like they stole it, because they did, and they're trying to inflict as much damage as they can in as fast as they can.
Sure. And then people say, well, you know, he's just replacing Rehnquist.
Yeah.
He's a right-winger replacing a right-winger. The next one will be a big battle because he'll be replacing Sandra Day O'Connor. Excuse me, this guy was put forward to replace Sandra Day O'Connor. What, do you think next time that he's going to replace Sandra Day O'Connor, he's going to change his tune?
Yeah, they're insane. There's no, this guy doesn't compromise on anything.
This guy being George Bush, yeah.
Yes, yes. So, you know, anybody he puts forth, he has to have some agenda just like George Bush, or he wouldn't be there.
Yeah, it's just that simple. I mean,
yeah,
it's
absolutely.
The past is a good indicator of the future in this
absolutely.
Case.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Amy. Good to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894. Nolan in Trucker, Missouri. Hey, Nolan, what's up?
Hey, pretty good. A little pissed off, but I'm doing all right.
All right.
I got a couple questions for you. Hopefully you can answer them for me.
Okay.
My biggest question is I went out and bought one of them handheld Constitution books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can't find in there, and I've talked to civics teachers, the whole nine yards, and they couldn't answer the question. Back when we first went to war, Congress and the House gave President Bush all the power to do what he wanted to do as he seemed fit.
Including using force, right? But there was not a formal declaration of war, if that's where you're going with that.
Well, no, my question is, since he's got that power, and I hope like hell we don't get another Republican in there, but if we do, does that power automatically get switched over to him?
To the next guy. You know, I don't know.
President.
I don't know, Nolan. I really don't know. I'd have to go back and look at how the resolution was drafted. I just don't know. Thanks for calling, though.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
My SUV is bigger than yours. I don't mess around when I hit for the store. Got a bigger motor, bigger seats, bigger flow for my big fat feet. Bigger windows so I can see all the tiny little people in front of me. When I need to park, no need to worry. Got bumpers to move small buildings in a hurry. Environment, don't make me laugh. Think I give a damn about a tank of gas. My wife wants the keys when she goes to the bank. She says it feels like she's driving in a tank. I guess what I'm getting at, you might say, is bigger is better in the USA.
Welcome back. Oh, 9 minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. The toll-free number in Congress has been shut down. 1-877-SOB-USOB no longer works. You have to call 202-225-3121, 202-225-3121, if you want to talk to your member of Congress. Our number, 1-866-889-8894. By the way, coming up in the next 2 hours of the program, I want to share with you Aaron Broussard, the Jefferson County Parish, or Jefferson Parish President, speaks back to Tim Russert and to the right wing, calls them sick and twisted. Not Tim Russert specifically, but those who are providing his talking points. And the big lie about the Katrina atrocities, this is a huge story. It's what I actually started this hour with and never got to. I want to get back to it. These things, this and Bill Frist and more. And we're going to have David Cobb on, who was the Green Party candidate for president last time around. He's been involved in this lawsuit in Ohio. Lots and lots coming up. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Steve in Gainesville, Florida, on the line. Hey, Steve, what's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing? As you know, I'm a righty. But you really want a war over every judge. I mean,
you bet your butt.
We gave you a pass on Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Republicans, we gave you a pass on Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
No, I'm sorry. You didn't give anybody a pass. The Republicans who voted for Ruth Bader Ginsburg voted for her because she was good, she was qualified, and because she honestly answered the questions. Nobody was trying to cover up what Ruth Bader Ginsburg had to say. The only time that Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, no, I'm not going to answer that question, was when specific questions were asked her about specific cases coming before the Supreme Court. She did lay out her philosophy on abortion. She said, I think a woman has a right to an abortion. She did lay out her philosophy on privacy. She did lay out her philosophy. She did say that she doesn't think that people should be locked up without access to judicial processes. She was quite upfront, contrary to the right-wing spin that's out there with all these lying ads.
I'm not even talking about that. I admit she answered more questions, but no, Bork answered all the questions. I mean, we could have gotten...
Right, and if we went along with Bork's philosophy, you would have to repeal the law that says that women can vote. You would have to repeal the anti-segregation laws because he felt that Brown versus Board of Education was inappropriately decided, so we are back to a separate but equal society. And arguably, because Bork said that we should be interpreting the Constitution circa 1787 rather than post-Civil War, everything from the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment on should be ignored in Bork's world, and so we should go back to slavery. And I'm not exaggerating. Go back and read his testimony.
But I'm just saying, we could have got our revenge for Bork on Ginsburg, but she was an ACLU lefty. I mean, she was our worst nightmare. Bill Clinton was president, right? And we had the votes outright without a filibuster, without any shenanigans.
Steve, it's pathetic. I'm sorry. It's pathetic. It's just pathetic. We gave you Ginsburg. Give me a break. Give me a break. You think... Newt Gingrich took no prisoners. The Republicans fought every single battle, even the losing battles. They fought to win. They fought all the way. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was highly qualified. She is no screaming liberal. She's right down the middle. She represents the mainstream of America. Julie in Humboldt County. Hey, Julie.
Oh, hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to make a point on these confirmation hearings that other people don't seem to be saying, and that is I don't think... there's a logical argument that says that you can take a lack of evidence against someone and use that as proof for anything.
You can when that lack of evidence is caused by an active and aggressive cover-up.
Right. Well, that's my point, is that they're withholding from public scrutiny all sorts of documents that could tell us anything. We don't really know. But what we do know is evocative of, you say, a corporatist, which I think is an important point, and also that he has helped us lose the integrity of our elections. If that's not enough to disqualify him right there, I don't know what would be.
Yeah.
And I do agree with you that in Ruth Bader Ginsburg's confirmation hearings, as I recall, because I was a voter at the time and paying attention like I should have, that there's a difference between hiding your philosophies and hiding the specifics of how you would determine cases.
Oh, yeah. MediaMatters.org did a point-by-point rebuttal of the lies in that ad that says that Ruth Bader Ginsburg established a precedent for...
That last caller got me really worked up because I remember that.
You know, this guy's just repeating the Republican talking points.
And he's just taking someone else's point.
Yeah,
that's what I believe.
Yeah, and I've had enough of the Republican talking points. I'm sorry. No more lies.
Justices should be considered above the partisan politics. I thought a long time ago when I was in civics classes, and that was a long time ago, that, you know, partisan politics had no place in our judiciary, and that we were supposed to somehow strive to rise above partisan politics. But it has become the, you know, inviting of Republicans versus Democrats, which I find the delineation between the two to be getting narrower and less obvious every year. And I'm becoming a more liberal. I've always been a Democrat, but I find myself, distancing myself from certain aspects of the Democratic
Party. Just like the Republican Party moved so far to the right that Jim Jeffords had to leave it. Because he had not changed in 40 years, but the party changed out from underneath him.
Right.
The Democratic Party, similarly, ever since Bill Clinton became president, has been moving to the right. And a lot of people are looking around going, if this Democratic Party doesn't recover its roots, doesn't go back to its roots in Franklin Roosevelt, it's got a problem. And part of that, I mean, you could see the fault lines in people like me who voted for Ralph Nader in 2000.
Right.
Trying to send a message. I mean, I was in a safe blue state of Vermont, so had I been in Florida. Yeah, if I had been in Florida, I wouldn't have done that. But you know, I wanted to send a message to the Democratic Party. Hey, wake up, guys. Start paying attention.
Right.
And enough of the rant. Julie, thanks a lot.
Thanks for giving me an opportunity.
You're welcome. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. And once again, the telephone number for the switchboard at Congress, you can ask for any senator. Be sure to get through to Leahy and Feingold, but also call your two senators, Democrat or Republican, 202-225-3121.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information. Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. 6 minutes past the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. David Cobb is with us. David was the Green Party candidate for President of the United States in the year 2004. He is an attorney based in California. David, are you still, I'm assuming you're still affiliated with the Green Party?
I am affiliated with the Green Party, and I'm also affiliated with every effort to try to restore democracy in this country, regardless of what political party that person may or organization may be involved with.
Great. And DUHC, I'm assuming that's Humboldt County in there. What's DUHC.org?
Yeah, DUHC.org is a website with the local grassroots group I work with. It's Democracy Unlimited of Humboldt County. Because we believe, Tom, as I know you do, that we have to think globally, realize the implications nationally, but act locally. Where we live is where we can have the most impact. So at Democracy Unlimited of Humboldt County, we are organizing, educating, and strategizing, and I'm proud to say implementing grassroots strategies to rein in the rampant and illegitimate power that corporations have seized in order to begin the process of building a grassroots movement for genuine democracy.
That's absolutely great. And I want to get into some of the specifics of that in just a minute. First, though, you were involved in the 2004 election. You were a party to the lawsuit that followed that election in the state of Ohio, alleging that there was vote theft. We now have the Carter Baker report out. And for some reason, the possibility that votes were stolen in 2000, 2002, and 2004 seems to have completely vanished from this report. It's as if it was never there in the first place. I mean, it's just poof, it's gone. And And a lot of people are, you know, scratching their heads going, you know, what could have happened here? Now, Jimmy Carter, actually, in a recent report or in a recent interview, it just came right out and said Al Gore won. In fact, let me play this clip for you. I'd like to get your take on this.
There's no doubt in my mind that Al Gore was elected president. He received the most votes nationwide, and in my opinion, he also received the most votes in Florida. And the decision was made, as you know, by a 5-4 vote on a highly partisan basis by the U.S. Supreme Court. So I would say in 2000, there was a failure.
Yeah, there was a bit of a failure. Why was that not part of the official report?
Well, I'm afraid to say that the both commissions that happened, the one after 2000 and the one after 2004, was a bipartisan attempt to quell the growing dissatisfaction with the American people with the report. I really honor former President Carter for telling the truth about 2000. We know, Tom, and it needs to be said, George Bush is an illegitimate occupant of the White House. He did not win the election in 2000. That is a fact. It's not just opinion. It's been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that even after Jeb Bush and Catherine Harris illegally and illegitimately purged 100,000 African-American voters from the rolls, even after that obnoxious, depraved example of
felonious
example of Jim Crow, return of Jim Crow segregation, even after that, Tom, we know that Gore actually got more votes in Florida. So the 5-4 judicial selection of Bush was only the culmination of the theft that actually happened 6 months prior. That's a fact. Now, I will say this. I can't tell if Bush stole another election in 2004 because we've never had the level of investigation and a full recount, notwithstanding the lawsuit that the Green Party brought as a result. So I don't know if he successfully stole another election. I'll tell you this. He tried to. There's no doubt that the allegations of voter suppression and election fraud and computer malfunctions, all of which somehow miraculously favored Bush, amounts to a massive failure and a crisis. And Tom, let's conclude with this chilling observation. 20% of the American people believe that Bush stole the 2004 election. 40% believe he may have. Now, whether you agree or disagree with the conclusions, think about the implications when 40% of the American people have lost confidence in the integrity of elections.
Well, actually, if my math is right, that's 60% of the American people have lost.
20% say definitely, and another 20% say
I see.
Likely. So
I thought you said it was another 40%.
No, 20% say one thing, 40% say another. They're subsumed within it. However, think about those implications, Tom.
Yeah, it's not good. It's grim, in fact. And what can be done about this, Cobb?
Tom, I think that one thing that can be done is at the local level to begin to network with and work with your local election administrator. I know that that's not as sexy, but let's just be concrete about that, how important that first step. You know, here in Eureka, California, where I live, we listen to your words daily on KGOE in Eureka.
One of our favorite affiliates.
All right. And in Eureka, what is happening is local citizens have created a citizens group to begin to network with our election administrators to assure that we can begin the process of getting new voting equipment that will not be associated with any major political party. And let's just say it, we know it's true that virtually all of the big-time vendors have direct financial ties to the Republican Party. So we're in the process.
To the party itself or to people who are notorious Republicans?
People within the party.
Okay.
People within the party. But the point is that is akin to going to a sporting event and seeing the umpires and referees not only being supplied by one of the participants in the game, but actually being compensated financially. This is absurd, Tom. How has it come to this? So that's one concrete thing. I'll tell you another thing, and that is ordinary citizens beginning the process of writing letters to the editor, calling into talk radio, and not just a program like yours, but right-wing talk radio. We have got to contest idea space everywhere, not just know in our hearts that we're right. We have to put forward our progressive, positive vision for elections where every vote is counted.
Right, and here's how you vote. Here's how you call into right-wing talk radio. You say, You know, on TV last year, before the election, before the last election on Topic A with Tina Brown, I saw, or I heard that, as the case may be, Howard Dean and a woman named Bev Harris hacked a Diebold central tabulating voting machine on live television on the Tina Brown Topic A with Tina Brown TV program. Howard Dean knows how to hack a voting machine. It's true.
That's
and,
brilliant, Tom.
And this
You're
is it.
Exactly
you call,
right.
that, you, that you, is... you call into the right-wing talk radio stations and you say, the president of the DNC on national television hacked a voting machine. What are we doing with these voting machines in my precinct?
Tom, you're brilliant. That is the perfect strategy. And it also, listeners, you have to know this, is absolutely true. Bev Harris and Howard Dean did, in fact, hack in on live television to a voting machine. And to characterize and frame your comment on right-wing radio that way is a brilliant strategy.
Oh, I've been hoping that somebody, I mean, I can't do it, they'd recognize my name, but I've been hoping that somebody would write an article for Newsmax about this, you know, outing Howard Dean as a guy who knows how to hack voting machines and, you know, create all kinds of a stink. I mean, here, this is just a little tiny clip from this. It's a
Bev sat me down, and in a few short seconds, I was amazed at what I could do.
All right, Bev, show me how to do this.
Yeah, and that's where they start out, and then when this is how they end up.
And as you can see now, Howard Dean only has 500 votes. Lex Luthor has 900, and Tiger Woods has 100 votes. Mm. We just edited an election. It took us 90 seconds.
We just edited an election. It took us 90 seconds. She flipped the results.
Yep, and that was on a machine in a program that had been, quote, certified.
Yeah, that was the GEMS program on an actual Diebold machine on actual national network on CNBC.
Now, I'm happy to tell you that there is a movement against these electronic voting machines, Tom, and you and I, of course, will be at yet another of the conferences that ordinary citizens are organizing across the country. This one will be in Oregon.
Right, OregonVRC.org, Oregon Voter Rights Coalition.
Absolutely, and I really, anyone who is anywhere in the Pacific Northwest, please get there. You'll hear Tom Hartman, myself, Representative Jesse Jackson Jr., and a host of others who have been really leading the charge on creating a new generation voting rights movement.
Yeah, I believe Congressman Earl Blumenauer is going to be there as well.
Oh, fantastic.
It's next weekend, isn't it, David?
It is indeed.
Yeah, indeed. Okay.
So you know, and I can tell you, Tom, that this is happening across the country. Ordinary citizens, some of whom have never been politically active other than voting and talking to their neighbors, which is an important thing, but have actually taken it to the next level of being actively engaged civic participants who understand that the integrity of the voting systems must be the first priority.
Yeah. David, I want to ask you very briefly about some of the things that you're doing on a local basis. We've got at least one caller for you. Can you stick around over the break for just a minute?
I would love to, Tom.
Okay, we're going to hold you over the break. And we'll be back in just a few moments. It's 16 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, the place where we dare to ask the question, is Walmart a person? And we generally dare to answer, no way! Not a chance! No, it's a corporation! Wake up! So, we'll be right back. 16 minutes past the hour.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
Yeah, like democracy. Let's get democracy started. What a plan. Welcome back. Democracy Unlimited for Humboldt County, David Cobb's organization, DUHC.org. David Cobb, former presidential candidate for the Green Party all across the United States of America, on the line with us. Hey, David, welcome back.
Thanks, Tom. Always a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you. David, first of all, I got Dave also in Humboldt County who hang on just a second. Let me lock this one here, who has a comment or question. Hey, Dave, you are live with Dave.
Good morning, Tom. And in my opinion, you are talking to the man who should be the president of the United States. I stood with him on the Peace March this weekend, and when he gives a talk, you know you've heard the truth. It comes through very clear.
Amen, brother.
I'm also a part of all your efforts there to try to clean up and make these elections honest, Dave, and I hope somehow we'll have an impact on it, but it's an uphill fight against the treacherous government we got right now.
Well, that's true, David. It is a treacherous government, and we need to tell that truth. And
well, let me insert something here. It's not a treacherous government we have. It's a treacherous administration.
Well said, and thank you for the correction, Tom. You know, because I believe in government. You know why? Because in a democracy, we the people are supposed to be the government. The problem is that the current administration has ascended to the presidency illegitimately. Another problem is that through the legal system, corporate power has morphed and evolved to the point that it's actually become corporate rule, where unaccountable corporations and their CEOs are literally ruling us. They're making the fundamental public policy decisions that affect our lives.
So what are you doing there in Humboldt County, California, Northern California, the town of Eureka and that area? What are you doing locally to take back democracy? And in particular, what are you doing that people all across the United States who are listening to this program could also be doing?
Well, we're using the ballot initiative process to put before the voters of Humboldt County binding law that would say no non-local corporations will be allowed to make any contributions to politics in Humboldt County. It's a first step. It's not the only step.
Why stop at non-law? Why not simply say, as Teddy Roosevelt did in 1907, no corporations?
Well, that's actually where I personally wanted to go, Tom. But the reality is the larger group of folks that we were working with in Humboldt County made the argument that they wanted to make that distinction.
The bottom line is any local corporation that's truly a local corporation probably has a local human being who owns most of the stock, and you're not inhibiting that person's behavior in any way. They can make political contributions.
Absolutely, and it's interesting, Tom, because, as I said, I agreed with you, and I wanted to just do a blanket prohibition against any corporate contributions. So the compromise that was struck was that to be a local corporation, all shares of anybody who owned any shares of stock had to live in Humboldt County, and all employees had to reside in Humboldt County. It is a very strict definition of.
Well, that's great. So you're putting this forward as a countywide ballot initiative.
Yes, that's right. Think about
when.
We're collecting signatures now, and Tom, think of this. In 3 days, we collected 1,000 signatures in this rural county. The support has been overwhelming.
What's the population of the county, David?
There are 85,000 registered voters.
Wow. So you got about 1.5% of the voters in 3 days.
In 3 days, it's amazing, isn't it? And I would urge, and I'm going to say this website slowly. I'm going to say this now. Please go get a pen and pencil, pencil, paper. You got to write this website down because this is the website for the campaign itself that you can run in your community. And as somebody who's constantly thinking about framing and discussion, Tom, I think you'll like this. Here's a website for a campaign to keep corporate money out of politics. VoteLocalControl.org.
Great. VoteLocalControl.org. And, David, let's say you pass this thing and it becomes law. What happens then when the Chamber of Commerce, with lots of federal money and lots of Republican money, comes in and says, this isn't legal, we're going to take you to the Supreme Court?
Well, two things. First of all, Tom, I'm a lawyer myself, and if I do say so, a clever one. So I went and researched U.S. Supreme Court decisions on corporate contributions and the seminal cases of First National Bank versus Bilotti and Buckley versus Vallejo.
Mm-hmm.
Both
of which we lost.
Both of which should be overturned. However, in that language, the court said, if there is ever a affirmative legislative finding that the people are actually losing confidence in the integrity of elections or otherwise the confidence of citizens is being lost in their government, then there is a different threshold by which we will analyze corporate contracts.
Wait a minute. This was part of the majority opinion in both the cases?
Part of the majority opinion. It was
in both cases?
In Buckley versus Vallejo, and it was cited in First National Bank versus Bilotti.
Amazing. Now, Rehnquist's dissent in Boston versus Bilotti has always given me some small measure of hope that Rehnquist was salvageable. Rehnquist, of course, is now gone. John Roberts has a very different view, I suspect, of the
No doubt about it. So I want to, you know, to address your question head on, what are we going to do? First, we're going to make the argument that written into our ballot initiative is a affirmative legislative finding that we are acting because the citizens of Humboldt County have lost confidence in the integrity of the election.
That's great.
And the thing is, we're going to organize a mass movement, take our country back, and we're not going to allow the Supreme Court to tell us we can't protect our election.
Great. The website is votelocalcontrol.org. David Cobb, thanks so much for being with us
Tom,
today.
Tom, thanks for what you do.
Keep up the great work.
All right, you too,
You're
man.
Good man.
Bye.
It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, 27 minutes past the hour.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. And right at this moment,
role of the military.
Scotty is holding a news conference in Washington, D.C. Let's see if there's an interesting question.
Like Hurricane Katrina and their number of lessons learned. I think that you all, some
quack,
of you were
quack,
there
quack,
on the trip and able to
see
the discussions that took place.
Right now he's talking about how important it is that President Bush travel into this area, even as he's telling everybody to curtail unnecessary travel.
And to hear firsthand some of the lessons learned from Hurricane Katrina as well.
What's he doing tomorrow that makes it necessary travel?
Well, we'll be updating you on the schedule later today.
Why is it necessary travel? Weasel. Yes. Anyhow, welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Aaron Broussard, you will recall 2 weeks ago I played for you a clip of Aaron Broussard on Tim Russert's Face the Nation or Meet the Press. It's Meet the Press, isn't it? With Tim Russert. And Aaron Broussard, the president of Jefferson Parish, had melted down on his program, saying that an employee of his by the name of Tom, that his employee's mother died in that nursing home, that notorious nursing home. And that, on Monday we called and said, we're coming to get your mom. On Tuesday we called and said, we're coming to get you. On Wednesday we called. And then finally he breaks down. He says, on Friday she drowned and nobody's coming to get us. Nobody's coming. Well, the right wingers went after him because he had his days wrong. Honest to goodness, I kid you not, the right-wingers went after Aaron Broussard because he had his days wrong. Yeah, when he said Friday, he should have said Monday. When he mixed up the days. The guy hadn't slept in 30 hours. He'd been saving people's lives. But his employee's mother actually did drown, and they had been trying to get her out. And Tim Russert brings this up, says, the bloggers are saying that, tosses out the right-wing talking points at this guy, sort of like, okay, we got you now, boy. You lied on the air. Now, to give Tim Russert his due, number one, sometimes when you toss somebody a hard question, you're doing them a favor because you give them an opportunity to give a good answer. And Tim Russert certainly did that here. And you give them an opportunity to refute the talking point. And number two, Tim Russert had this guy back on his program, so I'd say good on him for it. But it's really interesting to hear how Aaron Broussard, the president of Jefferson Parish, responded to the Reich wingers, the Matt Drudges and the Sean Hannitys and the Rush Limbaughs and all these guys who've been repeating all this stuff about how, well, he went on NBC's Meet the Press and he got his dates wrong. As if he was like some kind of liar, as if we shouldn't take it seriously that his employee's mother died. Here's Aaron Broussard responding to Tim Russert's question, in which Tim Russert says, well, the bloggers all say that you had your information wrong here when you came on this program 2 weeks ago. And Aaron Broussard answering that charge. If I can make this thing work here. Come on, you.
Tommy can tell you that he sent messages there through the EOC and through, I think, the Sheriff's Department. Tell Mama that everything's going to be okay. Tell Mama we're coming together. Listen, sir, somebody wants to nitpick a man's tragic loss of a mother because she was abandoned in a nursing home? Are you kidding? What kind of sick mind, what kind of black-hearted people want to nitpick a man's mother's death? They just buried Eva last week. I was there at the wake. Are you kidding me? That wasn't a box of Cheerios they buried last week. That was a man's mother whose story, if it is entirely broadcast, will be the epitome of abandonment. It'll be the saddest tale you ever heard. A man who is responsible for safekeeping of 500,000 people. Mothers die in the next parish because she is abandoned there and he can't get to her, and he tries to get through it through EOC. They try to get through the sheriff's office. He tries every way he can to get there. Somebody wants to debate those things? My God, what sick-minded person wants to do that? What kind of agenda is going on here?
Limbaugh.
Mother Nature doesn't have a political party. Mother Nature can vote a person dead, and Mother Nature can vote a community out of existence. But Mother Nature is not playing any political games here. Somebody better wake up. You want to come and live in this community and see the tragedy we're living in? Are you sitting there having your coffee? You're in a place where toilets flush and lights go on and everything's a dream, and you pick up your paper and you want to battle ideology and political chess games? Man, get out of my face. Whoever wants to do that, get out of my face.
Yeah, Aaron Broussard, God bless him. Speaking truth to power, president of Jefferson Parish, Louisiana, whose employee Tommy, I don't recall the guy's last name, his mother died as he was trying to reach her day after day after day because FEMA didn't show up, because it was too important to have a Bush crony appointed as director of FEMA and as number two man in FEMA and as number three man in FEMA than have an actual expert in FEMA, in charge of FEMA. Victoria Jones with us with the Talk Radio News Service. Hey, Victoria.
Well, hey, Tom. Yes, well, it's only federal emergency management, so you don't, you know, why would you need somebody fully qualified for that?
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Emergency management. It's not like federal management.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so we're at the Capitol today, where the Senate has just started debating, really pontificating on John Roberts, who, of course, will be confirmed by the end of the week. But
now,
more
hang on just a second. Yeah, you said of course will be confirmed.
Oh, yeah.
I am hearing that the switchboards at Capitol Hill have been so swamped, the 877-SOB-USOB number, they've disconnected. So the people can't call in toll-free anymore. People have to call 202-225-3121. I'm hearing, you know, I've got a couple of people in the chat room who've been trying to get a hold of Pat Leahy for an hour. His lines are absolutely slammed, that all of these senators are hearing from outraged citizens, absolutely screaming, and that it is the pontificators, no offense intended, I know you're a reporter, but it is the talking head pontificators on TV, the folks who are there from, you know, the news Week in the Wall Street Journal, John what's his name and Andrea Mitchell and these types who are saying, well, it's a slam dunk, you know, and who established that expectation before the Democrats even had a chance to get their teeth into this thing.
Well, I mean, that may be the case,
and that it might turn around. It might turn around. It may be that if all the Democrats say no, there could even be a filibuster on this. You still there, Victoria? Yep, oh, we've lost Victoria. I guess I shouldn't have said that. No doubt she'll call back. I suspect this was a cell phone, although I don't know. You know, if they can disconnect the phone number for the Capitol building, maybe they can disconnect the number for our reporter from Washington, D.C. Ah, there she is. I'll grab that. No, David, let go of it. I'll take that. There we go. Victoria? Hey, Victoria.
Hello?
Yeah, you're back.
Hello?
Hey, you are live.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm alive and I'm here.
There you
well,
go.
I mean, it's always possible. The sense here is that they're going to save the filibuster if they're going to use one, because, you know, they got the gang of 14, for the next nominee who might be scary. And this person...
Roberts isn't scary. This is the guy who coached the lawyers in 2000 about how to argue before the Supreme Court that the citizens of Florida's vote should not be counted and George Bush should be installed president. That's not scary?
Well, I think it's scary, but I think they're afraid that there's even scarier to come.
I don't think that it's possible. This is a guy who wants to roll. His wife is in charge of a major organization to roll back abortion. He believes the corporation should have more rights than human beings. He ruled while he was being considered for the Supreme Court that George Bush is absolutely right in locking people up and throwing away the key in violation of the Fifth, Sixth, Seventh, and Eighth Amendments. I mean, how much more scary do they need? Do they need somebody to show up with a swastika, you know, on his armband?
Well, something like that, or fangs or a bolt through their neck. It seems that would be their definition of scary.
They're looking for somebody with a bad hair day, like Robert Bork has every day.
Exactly.
But this guy's opinions are not that different from Bork's.
Well, you see, this is what's so interesting. I heard somebody saying the other day, although I'm sure he hasn't had Botox, but it's like Bork with Botox. He just looks better.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. Plus, he's got two
clever
kids.
Yes. Those kids annoy me.
Okay, well, he's got two annoying kids, but nonetheless, he's smart enough not to answer questions like you know, in a stand-up
exactly
way like Bork did. Bork's biggest mistake, it wasn't just that he answered the questions, because a lot of Bork's answers, you go back and you know, look, a lot of his answers were very evasive. Problem is that Bork had been writing op-eds. He didn't just write opinions from the bench. He wrote op-eds.
Right.
And his positions were well-known. He thought that, you know, we should roll back women's rights, we should roll back, you know, all affirmative action, that we should go back to, I mean, basically thought Brown versus Board of Education was a bad case, that we should be going back to segregation in the United States. And it was a little bit over the top, you know. But Judge Roberts has not disavowed any of those things.
No, he hasn't. He's learned from Judge Bork. I mean, everybody's learned from Bork. Bork at least was honest and straightforward about it. I mean, I'm sure he wouldn't be today, at least not straightforward about it.
So how can Roberts, who shares the same philosophy but isn't honest, be an acceptable nominee for any Democrat? I don't get it.
I'm just telling you what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's because nobody wants to piss off his law firm. I think that they're all afraid of his law firm.
Well, and he is friends with an awful lot of people, and he does do lunch.
Yeah.
And, you know, I bring my own sandwiches, so I don't count. But those people who do lunch, it's very important in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Pardon my language, by the way, to anybody I may have offended.
Oh, yeah. I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Now, have you heard about the letter that Senator Frank Lautenberg sent to the president about Karl Rove?
No.
He wrote a letter to the president on Friday. I've only just heard about it now. The assignment of your deputy chief of staff, Karl Rove, the White House official, it's quite brief, that's why I'm reading it, for disaster coordination and recovery efforts raises troubling questions given his partisan political background.
Yeah, I guess
Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It would be expected that Mr. Rove would be at his post 24-7 during this crisis. However, as unlikely as it might seem, we have learned that Mr. Rove will be traveling to North Dakota to engage in political fundraising activities.
Right.
When this hurricane makes landfall, he will be delivering a political speech to the Dakota Republican Party.
Yeah, we reported on that on Friday.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did. But, yeah, it's incredible. I mean, the audacity of these people. And then the Democrats just roll over. It's just, we can't let them do it. You got to call 202-225-3121. Victoria, thank you.
Thank you.
Good talking to you.
Democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartman.
General Motors got the right idea. Get them little bitty cars out of here. Enron, Chevron, what the hey? I see the USA in my Chevrolet. Gotta be quick, gotta be fast. Gotta look good, gotta use gas. If it ain't got balls, it ain't worth a damn. Don't care if it's black, white, or tan. You can tax my house, tax my
And welcome back, my friends. 50 minutes past the hour, 9:51, 9 minutes before the top of the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Cindy Sheehan in Washington, D.C. this weekend.
This is amazing. This is, you're part of history. Pat yourselves on the back for being here.
300,000 people.
We need a people's movement to end this war. My good friends in the media aren't doing their jobs. Most of our friends in Congress aren't doing their jobs. George Bush certainly isn't doing his job.
Well, it's hard work, you know.
So you know what? We have to do our jobs as Americans.
Criminal Administration.
This government that condones torture.
This administration.
We're human beings. We don't torture other human beings. We have to reclaim our humanity. We have to show the world that Americans don't torture, and it's not okay for anybody to torture another human being. To show our government, to show our media, to show America that we mean business and we're not going home till every last one of our troops is home. And we mean business, George Bush.
There you go. Cindy Sheehan, thanks to Fred 42 in our chat room who showed up in Washington, D.C. and provided us with a number of great audio clips from that. Here's George Galloway speaking at the conference.
Our soldiers, conscripted by high unemployment and low wages and poor prospects and racism and hopelessness, they are our brothers and our sisters, our sons and our daughters. It's George Bush who's sending them to kill and be killed on a pack of lies who hates our troops.
Yeah, George Bush hates our troops because, you know, they've got this Operation Counterbalance or whatever it is, Operation something or other, that let's balance the cost of rebuilding Katrina by closing some PXs and doing away with education for soldiers' families and cutting back on health care benefits for soldiers. That sounds like a Republican thing to do. You know, it just sounds like a Republican thing to do. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Keith in Seattle, Washington, on the line. Hey, Keith, what's up?
Hi, Tom. Thank you for your Educating America style. We are going to have to stop Howard Dean from hacking the voting machines. But
there you go. You know, Howard Dean, by the way, has been marvelously outspoken recently. He hasn't gotten squat in terms of national media attention, but he has been loudly speaking out against John Roberts, against the war in Iraq. I mean, he's been doing his job and doing a good job of it.
The reason I called CBS News, I monitor it, and they did not even mention the anti-war march on Saturday nor Sunday. They are one fallen news organization. I was hoping some of your callers might want to give them a call and write them along with the other networks.
CBS News did not even mention
it? I monitored it. They did not even mention it happened. It was entirely the hurricanes. And NBC, I watched that after they had a full-hour coverage. They mentioned it for about 12 seconds, and then they gave about 7 seconds to 200 anti-protesters.
400.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
400. But yeah.
And
yeah.
Another quick point. Also, there is a toll-free number for Congress, 1-888-818-6641.
Yeah, there's two of them, actually. There's
818-6641.
And there's another one, 355-3588, 1-888, yeah.
I sent you an email about Walter Williams, the man who wrote Reaganism and the Death of Representative Democracy.
I'm halfway through the book. I was going to make it my BuzzFlash book of the month, but the book is so badly written. The guy is an academic. He takes four paragraphs to say what could be said in two sentences. And I don't want to write a book review and recommend a book and start out by saying, I wish somebody would rewrite this book in a way that could be read, because it's unintelligible.
Yeah.
It's a marvelous book. It's got brilliant information, and I think everybody should read it, but it is so badly written.
The concept of what he's saying, you are getting out, and I hope you will get that out, because the people need to understand that the roots of Bush Co. is in Reagan and earlier.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't get it. Reagan needs to be taken off his pedestal, so I'm glad you're trying to do it and keep up the good work.
Yeah, and I keep looking for somebody to rewrite, to write a version of that book that you just named, Reaganism and the death of representative democracy. It's got a marvelous picture on the cover of Reagan and Shrub, and it's a tragic picture, really. And the thesis is absolutely right that Ronald Reagan came into office hell bent for leather on disassembling democracy in the United States and started the process. And George Bush, in 5 years, has done more than Reagan probably dreamed he could have in 20 had he had a chance.
People don't understand that because you don't hear those words you just said. They're not telling the public that.
No, they're not, because because part of disassembling and dismantling representative democracy is handing it over to corporations. And guess who owns most of our news media now?
Call CBS News and complain, folks. Thanks, Tom.
There you go. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Keith. Good to hear from you. Oh, my goodness. What can we do? We can get active. I keep saying it, but, you know, we can. You actually can. Local control. VoteLocalControl.org. A great website. Check that out. And then, of course, there's the Million Phones March, I believe. Million Phones March. I'll have to double check. I'll give you that after the break again. It's Tom Hartman with you. 57 minutes past the hour.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information. Uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back, my friends. 6.5 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you on the radio support group of, by, and for We the People of the United States of America. And a fine bunch we are, right? All of us, all colors, all races, all religions, all political persuasions. The arrest update. Yes, an arrest update. Cindy Sheehan was just arrested out in front of the White House. Surprise, surprise. George has her where he wants her now. In jail. She and several dozen other protesters, sat down on the sidewalk out in front of the White House after marching along the pedestrian walkway on Pennsylvania Avenue. Police warned them three times they were breaking the law by failing to move along and then began making arrests. Sheehan was the first taken into custody. She stood up and was led to a police vehicle while protesters chanted, "The whole world is watching." And boy, is that true. In addition to that, at 7 o'clock this morning, a rally began in front of the Pentagon, the metro stop that leads to the Pentagon. 41 protesters were arrested there. People protesting the Pentagon's role and everything that's going on in Iraq. This was a rally in support of our troops and in opposition to the insane policies of an administration that has sent our troops into war unnecessarily for the benefit of a very small number of very wealthy people and a very wealthy industry, the oil industry, in a way that is in absolute violation of the will of the people of the United States, an illegal war, an immoral war, being tragically fought by troops who, by patriotic Americans, people who joined the military service either because they believed it was the right thing to do or because they needed a job. But, you know, we got to keep in mind Dick Cheney's dictum.
Iraq sits on top of 10% of the world's oil reserves. Very significant reserve, second only to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. And then as George Bush was announcing to the world that he was coming in, that he was going to start bombing Iraq. And I'm sitting there watching it on TV along with the rest of the world. And George Bush goes through his whole little litany of why we have to invade Iraq, that they've got weapons of mass destruction that they haven't, you know, revealed to us, blah de blah de blah, and they represent a threat and they could attack the United States. All these things that we now know are lies and that we know at the time he knew were lies. He then says, and now I'd like to say something to the Iraqi people. And I was expecting, frankly, that at that point George W. Bush was going to say, you know, Iraqi people, your young men and women in uniform, mostly young men in Iraq, your young men in uniform are the sons and daughters of families, just like our young men and women in uniform are. And I'm sure that your soldiers don't want to die, and you don't want your soldiers to die any more than we want our soldiers to die. So, you know, we're the largest military in the world. We've got enormous firepower. We got bombs that have technology that you can't even imagine. Why don't you just lay down your arms? Just lay down your weapons. In fact, if you lay down your weapons, we will be very kind to you. We'll take you as prisoners of war for a very short deprocessing period, like we did during World War II, and then we'll make sure that you get back to your families. We'll help you get a job. You know, we'll help put your country back together, and then we'll get out of the way. But, you know, please don't fight with us, because you'll lose. That's what I expected him to say. Instead, he turns to the Iraqi people, and he says,
"Your fate will depend on your actions. Do not destroy oil wells."
Do not destroy oil wells. And all over Iraq, all over the world, particularly all over the Arab world, people are going, "Oh, now I get it. Now I get it."
That when we talk about war, we're really talking about peace.
Yeah, now we get it. And is this about Osama bin Laden?
So I don't know where he is. Nor, you know, I just don't spend that much time on him, I'll be honest with you.
Oh, okay. So it's not about bin Laden. No, it's okay. Speaking of disgusting tragedies, I started the program 2 hours and 5 minutes ago by saying the big lie continues. And we got off on John Roberts, and it took over the first hour. I hadn't intended, you know, I'd expected to spend 10 minutes on it, but a lot of people very concerned about it, and it really is a big issue, John Roberts. And you really do need to be calling your member of Congress, and that telephone number, 212-225-3121. I'm disinclined to give out any more toll-free numbers, because they can pull the things as fast as they put them up. They have pulled the SOB-USOB number. It no longer works. But, you know, what does it cost to make a phone call? What's it going to cost you? 50 cents? A dollar? Less than a cup of coffee. 202-225-3121. Write it down someplace. 202. That's the area code for Washington, D.C. This is the Capitol Hill switchboard. You can ask for any member of Congress. If you don't know who your member of Congress is, give them your zip code. They'll tell you. But right now, it's particularly important to ask for your senators. You have two. Every state has two senators except for the District of Columbia. Ask for your two senators. And if you're in the District of Columbia, be sure to ask for Pat Leahy and Russ Feingold, the senators from Vermont and Wisconsin, and Herb Kohl, for that matter, from Wisconsin, who voted in favor or have declared that they will vote in favor of John Roberts, and say, "What the heck are you doing?" 1-202-225-3121. So anyhow, back to the big lie. See, I keep getting off track from this. The big lie that we heard as Hurricane Katrina had passed New Orleans, and the breathless reporting from faux news that eventually got picked up on by many of the other news services, but it was right-wing blogs, right-wing talk show hosts, and right-wing TV reporting that was leading this was, "It's black folks gone wild." That was the reporting. "It's those black folks, they are killing people, they are raping people, they are looting, it is black folks gone wild." That was the story. That was the meme that these racist right-wingers wanted to plant. So much so that a story from today, Newhouse News Service today, by Brian Thevenot and Gordon Russell in the paper, talks about how Louisiana National Guard Colonel Thomas Barron prepared to hand over the dead to representatives of FEMA. FEMA sends a doctor down to pick up the dead bodies from the convention center and the stadium. He comes prepared, a refrigerated 18-wheeler, That's a big truck. With three doctors to process the bodies. Colonel Barron says, I've got a report of 200 bodies in the dome, in the Astrodome. The real total, they go in, they look around, the real total, number of dead people in there? Six. Four died of natural causes, one overdosed, and another jumped to his death in an apparent suicide. What about the murders? What about the raped women, children, and babies? What about that seven-year-old who was raped and killed? All lies. None of it happened. Well, what about at the convention center? Had to be terrible at the convention center, right? Right? No, sorry. At the convention center? No, same thing. They found one body at the convention center that might have been a homicide victim. They found a total of four bodies at the convention center. In fact, not only was it not black folks gone wild, but as Sergeant First Class Jason Lackney, who was there in the Superdome throughout the time, he said, I didn't see any killing and raping and cutting the throats or anything. 99% of the people in the dome were very well behaved. Instead, it was black folks being nice to each other. How did that get missed by our news media? How did that get missed? The article in the paper that the nation's frontline emergency management officials believe the body count would resemble that of a bloody battle in a war is one of scores of examples of myths about the Superdome and the Convention Center treated as fact by the news media. 16 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Sometimes it's bad when look on gets tough.
But you stick in there.
Yeah, we look in the mirror. Yeah, we wanna give up. Sometimes you don't even want to try. Sometimes we cry.
Yeah, and then you get up and you move forward. You know the old story, it was Paramahansa Yogananda used to tell this story about two guys walking down a road in India, an old dirt road with lots of, you know, ripples and water damage, and they're walking along having a great conversation, and they're not paying attention to the road, and they both trip and fall on a little rut in the road, you know, from where the water had washed it away, and they're both laying there face down in the dirt, and one guy reaches over and grabs a branch from beside him and starts hitting himself over the head going, oh, I'm such an idiot. I can't believe I did that. I'm so stupid. I fell right in the dirt. And the other guy stands up and brushes himself off and keeps walking. Which are we going to do? I mean, really, those are your choices. And, I'm all in favor of the keep walking, by the way, if you haven't figured that out. I just want to finish this thing up. The headline of the story, this Newhouse News Service story that ran in the local newspaper here in Portland, Oregon, the Oregonian, Katrina Atrocities Don't Live Up to Horror Stories by Brian Thevenot and Gordon Russell. This story should be on the front page of every newspaper in America, along with an op-ed piece saying, why were we fed a week of nonstop black folks gone wild stories, and where did all those right-wing articles come from or so-called first-person stories that were sent through in email to everybody? I got several of them. I got two of them from members of my family and friends of mine who received them from people that they know who are conservatives. One was about a person who purported to be, to have volunteered to help out some of these black folks gone wild and was treated poorly by them. And another was, a blog from inside the convention center. Just watched a young girl get raped over here, you know, blah, 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 blah. It was all lies. It was all lies. There were all these stories of extraordinary and noble sacrifice inside these arenas. There was one homicide in 4 days. In a city in New Orleans, there's a homicide every day. city, any city that size. In fact, here, Orleans Parish District Attorney Eddie Jordan said authorities have confirmed 4 slayings in the city in the aftermath of Katrina, making it a typical week in a city that anticipated more than 200 homicides for the year. Jordan expressed outrage at the unquestioning assumptions in many national media outlets that suffering victims had turned into mobs of unchecked barbarians. As floodwaters forced tens of thousands of refugees to seek shelter at the Superdome and Convention Center, news of unspeakable acts poured out of the nation's media. Survivors firing at helicopters trying to save them. Women, children, and even babies raped with abandon. People murdered simply for food and water. A 7-year-old raped and killed at the convention center. Police involved in multiple shootouts inside both shelters, forced to race toward muzzle flashes through the dark to disarm criminals, snipers firing at doctors and soldiers. The picture that emerged, again, I'm quoting from this Newhouse News Service story. The picture that emerged was one of the impoverished, overwhelmingly African-American masses of flood victims randomly attacking one another, as well as the police trying to protect them and the rescue workers trying to save them. But 4 weeks after the storm, few of the widely reported atrocities have been backed with evidence. It's all a lie. This is mind-boggling. It is, by the way, what I was saying at the time. You will recall 2 weeks ago, when these reports were coming out, and some of these reports were coming by my desk, and I was sharing bits and pieces with you, and I said, this just doesn't make sense. This isn't how people act when they're stressed out and there's a crisis. Yeah, there may be a couple of tough guys in there. There may be some people settling scores. But by and large, I don't care if people are black, white, yellow, red, whatever, you know, designation you want to give them. People are people. The lead of the story. After 5 days managing near riots, medical horrors, and unspeakable living conditions inside the Superdome, Louisiana National Guard Colonel Thomas Barron prepared to hand over the dead to representatives of FEMA. After days of international reports on murders, rapes, and gang violence inside the stadium, the doctors of FEMA came prepared for a grisly scene. They brought a refrigerated 18-wheeler and 3 doctors to process bodies. "I've got a report of 200 bodies in the dome," Barron recalled the doctor saying. This is what FEMA told their people. The real total? 6, Barron said. Of those, 4 died of natural causes, 1 overdosed, and another jumped to his death in an apparent suicide, said Barron, who personally oversaw the handoff of bodies from a Superdome freezer where they lay atop melting bags of ice. Incredible. Both sources, Barron and the State Health Department, said no one had been killed by violence inside the stadium. No one. No one. But it sure did make a nice story for all those racists out there and all those classists for them to say, what are we doing helping out these poor people? Code for black people. 27 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
I want to live. I want to do. I've been a miner for a heart of gold. It's these expressions I never hear that keep me searching for a heart of gold.
Well, apparently we're finding them. Many people, tens of thousands of people in the Superdome and in the Civic Center, apparently behaving themselves quite well, taking care of each other, looking out for each other, keeping each other alive. It wasn't the insanity that was reported. The chief of police, Eddie Compass, admits now, most of the worst crimes reported at the time never happened, he says, and I quote, "The information I had at the time, I thought it was credible," Compass said, admitting his earlier misstatements were false Asked the source of the information, Compass couldn't remember. Oh, but it made great news. Right, made great news stories. Deputy Police Superintendent Warren Riley, everything was embellished. He says everything was exaggerated. If one guy said he saw six bodies, then another guy the same six, and another guy saw them, then that became 18. Inside the Superdome, where National Guardsmen performed rigorous security checks before allowing anyone inside, only one shooting has been involved, has been verified. Now get this, only one shooting inside the Superdome. That shooting was a Louisiana Guardsman who shot himself in his own leg. Louisiana Guardsman Chris Watt of the 527th Engineer Battalion. According to his commander, Major David Baldwin, it has been widely misreported. Watt indeed had been attacked inside one of the dome's locker rooms when he entered with another soldier in the darkness as they walked through 6 inches of water. Watt's attacker hit him with a metal rod, a piece of a cot. But the bullet that penetrated Watt's leg came from his own gun. He accidentally shot himself during the commotion. The attacker was arrested and sent to jail. So you had one loony. Well, you got 20,000 people. How many loonies do you expect to have? One, maybe? Maybe 10, 20? Rumors of rampant violence at the convention center prompted Louisiana National Guard Colonel Jock Theobald to put together a 1,000-man force of soldiers and police in full battle gear to secure the center around noon on Friday. This is the convention center. How long did it take them? To quell the black folks going wild in there. It took only 20 minutes to take control, and soldiers met no resistance. Theobald said. They found no evidence, no witnesses, and no victims of any murders, rapes, or beatings. None! One widely circulated story, according told to the Times-Picayune by a slew of evacuees and two Arkansas National Guardmen, held that 30 or 40 bodies were stored in the convention center freezer, but a formal Arkansas Guard review of the matter later found that no soldier had actually seen the corpses, and that the information came from rumors in the food line for military police and rescue workers in front of Harrah's Casino, said Colonel John Edwards of the Arkansas National Guard, who conducted the review. It's just, people are so quick, particularly white folks in this culture, so quick to assume stories of barbarism and chaos on the parts of poor black folks. And many of these people, I'm sure, would say, oh, I'm not racist. And probably at the surface, they are not. But I'm telling you, those seeds are in all of us, all races, all people. You have to become aware of it in yourself. And not just, you know, it's not just race. It's all the isms. Right? We're all sexists. We're all racists at some level. But the difference is that some of us are, like, aware of it and spot it in ourselves and try and do something about it. Others of us just pass on the stories. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Colleen in Coos Bay, Oregon. Hey, Colleen.
Hi,
welcome,
Tom.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I had a couple of comments. First, I'm just so amazed at the lack of coverage of this March on Washington. I started watching it. I found it on C-SPAN when it was happening, and I was so energized watching it. We had our own march here in Coos Bay, and I just felt so positive and so good about participating in the coverage. And so, of course, I am sure that it's going to be on all the regular news, chat things. And
you mean all the big corporate-owned networks? Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't find it. You know, I was just like, oh, my gosh. You know, and what was mentioned, it's always 100,000 from there. You know, there were probably, what, 300,000?
Well, the estimates are between 150 and 300,000. Those are the best estimates. Here's, by the way, just a little bit of this is how the impeach George Bush chant began. Just kind of started out, impeach George Bush, very faintly. And then very quickly it picked up momentum. There you go. So,
news.
A little clip. Yeah, that is news. You would think,
news,
you know.
All these people there and nothing. And I turned on the first thing this morning on, I'm getting crazy anymore. I watch so much news. But first thing this morning, about 6 o'clock on CNN, and, of course, it's all the devastation in, you know, with the hurricanes, which I feel for. But a 10-second blurb on 3 more soldiers killed.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, we've lost a family. I mean, excuse me, I'm nervous. We've lost a child in our family, and that's devastation.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Every time, you know, a son or a daughter or a husband comes home in a box, that's a devastated family.
Yeah.
Which would probably gladly trade place with someone who's just lost a house. Not to, you know, I know there's loss there, too.
Yeah.
And when they talk about, you know, I belong to the Compassionate Friends here. It's a support group for parents who've lost kids. And Cindy Sheehan's divorce is so common.
Mm-hmm.
That happens. You know,
that actually, whether you lose your child, whether a person loses their child as a result of war or any other reason, the most common outcome from a family losing a child is divorce.
It is. You know, you think grief just, you all come together, it tears you apart. You know, it's a long road and it's forever. And the ripple effect in the whole family is.
Yeah, even if kids die of cancer or
exactly,
car accidents
exactly.
or whatever.
Exactly, but to have your child die in a war that they shouldn't be in, that's illegal, it's, you know, should never have happened, would make it, to me, 100 times worse.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be there. And I don't want to get too emotional about that, but my question for you is, what you just played with this impeach board, you know, George Bush, I thought, can we? Do you think it's possible? I mean,
yeah.
He is the most impeachable president we've ever had.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The chink in the armor will be the 2006 elections. If enough of us get active, if enough people join the Democratic Party, if enough people, even if you're a Green Party activist, even if you've never been affiliated with a political party, we do have a two-party system in this country, and it's really important to take back, number one, to take back either the House or the Senate or both. And then there's a very real possibility Bush could be impeached. And secondly, then, to take back the party. You know, once we've helped the party get control, then we need to infiltrate the party. And that means doing the hard work. It's, you know, it's hard work. Gee, how difficult is it, you know, one night a month or something to show up for a party meeting and run for office, run for the local group. You know, but that's what needs to be done. And that's what we all need to be doing. And that's what I encourage people to do.
Well, we had quite a few for our march here in Coos Bay. And we decided while we were there that we're going to do it once a month.
Good on you.
Once a month. Good on 101.
So. There you go. Well, keep it up, Colleen.
All right,
thanks a lot for the call.
You.
Great to hear from you. Jesse in Pittsburgh. Hey, Jesse.
Hi, Tom. Hey, I heard something that Aaron Broussard is a very intelligent man, according to some things he had published, predicting what would happen in his area. And I was just I wanted to make a suggestion as possibly you could even have him on. I don't know if you caught at the end of that Meet the Press where he made a challenge.
Yeah.
Was great.
Did you hear the clip I played here?
Oh, I certainly did, and I saw it. I saw it live, and I couldn't believe it. It was the best TV I've seen in a long time to see someone real hard. But anyhow, he made that challenge saying, if anybody wants to, you know, give me a full day's rest because I haven't slept in 30 days, I will challenge anyone. You come and talk to me. And I think, I wish someone would take him up on that, but I doubt they will. But apparently, yeah, like I said, I understand from what I've read and heard that he's incredibly intelligent, and he would be, I would think, a great guest.
Yeah, he's a very smart man, and he is, Aaron Broussard, the president of Jefferson Parish, Louisiana, is to Hurricane Katrina and FEMA and the Bush administration's domestic failures what George Galloway was to the Bush administration's lies about Iraq. A person who stands up to power speaks an absolutely ferocious truth that can't be refuted. Quibble with him about the details and say he may not be the most perfect messenger and, you know, quack, quack, quack. But the reality is that this is a guy who had the intestinal fortitude and the belief in his own position, the knowledge, the conviction to speak truthfully and powerfully, and I thought it was just absolutely marvelous.
Just like our CEO, our former CEO from Alcoa in Pittsburgh, Paul O'Neill, who's spoke the truth, and they couldn't take that.
Yeah, multimillionaire Paul O'Neill. How dare he speak the truth? I mean, we thought multimillionaires were on our side, right, says the Bush administration.
Yeah, and the word in Pittsburgh is he's one of the most respected and such a gentleman, respected person, you know, high dignity and
Yeah. Well, his big mistake, you know, was he started going traveling around with Bono. You don't hear Bono. You don't do that. You know?
Oh, yeah, right, yeah. Right.
So, anyhow, Jesse, thanks a lot for the call. Good to hear from you. I appreciate your listening. Thanks, and on WPTT there in Pittsburgh. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. It's the Tom Hartman radio program where progressives fiendishly plot for total world domination.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
If you knew that you would die today, you saw the face of God and love, would you change? Would you change?
It's a possibility. Welcome back, my friends. Tom Hartman here with you, 9.5 minutes before the hour. Aaron Broussard on Meet the Press with Tim Russert. Tim pointing out to him that the right-wing bloggers and the right-wing talk show hosts are attacking him because he got the days wrong, the days of the week wrong, when he talked about his friend and employee, Tommy, whose mother died, drowned to death in the nursing home there. Aaron Broussard, the president of Jefferson Parish.
Tommy can tell you that he sent messages there through the EOC and through, I think, the sheriff's department. Tell mama that everything's going to be okay. Tell mama we're coming together. Listen, sir, somebody wants to nitpick a man's tragic loss of a mother because she was abandoned in a nursing home? Are you kidding? What kind of sick mind, what kind of black-hearted people want to nitpick a man's mother's death?
Well, it's called Republicans and right-wingers.
They just buried Eva last week. I was there at the wake. Are you kidding me? That wasn't a box of Cheerios they buried last week. That was a man's mother whose story, if it is entirely broadcast, will be the epitome of abandonment. It'll be the saddest tale you ever heard. A man who is responsible for safekeeping of 500,000 people.
Now, this is that. Well, of course, that's why they don't want the story to get out there. That's why they're committing character assassination against you, Mr. Broussard. They don't want people to know about the reality of the failures of the Bush administration. After all, a guy who busted people for liposuctioning a horse's butt, he was supposed to be doing a good job.
Mothers die in the next parish because she is abandoned there, and he can't get to her, and he tries to get through it through EOC. They try to get through the sheriff's office. He tries every way he can to get there. Somebody wants to debate those things? My God, what sick-minded person wants to do that? What?
Just, you know, your average conservative.
What kind of agenda is going on here? Mother Nature doesn't have a political party. Mother Nature can vote a person dead, and Mother Nature can vote a community out of existence. But Mother Nature is not playing any political games here. Somebody better wake up. You want to come and live in this community and see the tragedy we're living in? Are you sitting there having your coffee? You're in a place where toilets flush and lights go on and everything's a dream, and you pick up your paper and you want to battle ideology and political chess games? Man, get out of my face. Whoever wants to do that, get out of my face.
So, you tell them. Aaron Broussard, 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. And Roy in Rio Rancho, New Mexico on the line. Hey, Roy, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Tom. We had a pretty good demonstration here in Albuquerque Saturday. We had at least 500. I saw estimates as high as 1,000.
That's great.
We got some. Unfortunately, we didn't get any TV coverage that I could find at all. Got a little bit of blurb in the Sunday paper. But just the excitement, the energy, the enthusiasm of the folks, you know, it's like, we got to do something. We just got to keep doing something.
Yeah, and the something that we've got to do is we've got to be getting ready for the 2006 elections.
Agitating and educating so we can motivate.
Yeah.
And I was really disturbed and irritated, although not surprised, with the coverage of the national when, you know, you get 150, 200, 300,000 people, and it gets 20 seconds, and a group that has 400 people opposing it gets 30 seconds. the false equivalency there is just nonsensical.
Yeah, but, well, you know, welcome to news or infotainment owned of, by, and for massive corporations. Yeah, it's
Flyboat Lions.
There you go. Yeah, it's the Swiftboat Liars all over again. Roy,
so anyway, we just got to get out there and agitate.
Yeah, and get ready for the 2006 elections. That's absolutely what we got to do. Roy, thanks a lot. Roy, Logan in New York City. Hey, Logan.
Hey, Tom, I just noticed that there's this Republican strategy that they deny reality, and then when they finally accept it, they call it old news.
Yeah, or they claim that it was their idea to begin with. Yeah, sure.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, pretty soon it'll be old news that it was wrong to go into Iraq.
That's right. And when will it be time to point fingers on Katrina? Well, it wasn't the time then, and it won't be the time afterwards. No, you're absolutely right. In fact, and what's happening, Logan, is the people are starting to see through their lies, and that's a good thing. Peter in Eureka, California. Thanks, Logan, for the call. Peter in Eureka, California. What's up?
Yeah, great, Tom. I just quickly, I want your take on, it's from an AP store there. I'm just reading offline. They're talking about the anti-war rally, and then they actually quote a little bit from a lady from pro-war, and she sincerely believes that any kind of protest from America helps the enemy. And I got to have, is that a valid kind of argument? I think these sincere pro-war people really believe that if you protest here, you're somehow aiding the enemy, this enemy, this vague word called enemy over in Iraq. And I don't know who these people are, but I think that's some kind of argument. And I, you know.
Yeah, no, it doesn't aid, quote, the enemy, end quote. I mean, first of all, you've got to understand who the enemy is, who's killing our soldiers. What you find is that increasingly it's Iraqis who simply want us out of their country. And, you know, whether we're demonstrating or not, they're going to want us out of their country. They're not trying to get us out of their country because we're protesting or because we're not protesting. They're trying to get us out of their country because they want their country back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's really just that simple, Peter. I got to move along. Barbara in Gig Harbor, Washington. Hey, Barbara.
Hi. I just wanted to say I listen to you every day, and I just love it. And I don't know if I can articulate this question real well, but you had a caller that called in a little bit ago and was talking about impeaching George Bush.
Right.
And you talked about that if we, you know, changed in the 06 election, we might have a shot at it.
Right.
My question is, are we then stuck with Cheney, and what effect will it have if Roberts oversees any kind of a trial?
Yeah, yes, we might be stuck with Cheney, and yes, if Robert oversees the trials, then we may have a problem. In fact, that might even be why Bush put Roberts in, the guy who helped him steal the 2000 election. And you can spin a huge conspiracy story around that. But the bottom line is that an impeachment proceeding would essentially neuter Bush politically, which is the reason why the Republicans impeached Bill Clinton. They didn't care whether he'd had sex in the White House. Heck, you know, four out of the top nine Democrat or Republicans who were impeaching him were having sex at the very time that they were impeaching him with their own aides, illegal, you know, outside of marriage and things. No, what they wanted to do was cripple Clinton politically. And this, you know, an impeachment effort against George W. Bush would cripple him politically. And that might be a very good thing for the United States. And no, I doubt it would be successful. I doubt that, it would be passed through the Senate. But get the process started so that we can start discussing the crimes of this administration. And then I think good things would come of it. Thanks a lot for being with us. See you tomorrow.
To the Tom Hartman Program, check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.